My name is Beth Dipple. I'm the executive director for the Sheboygan County Historical Research Center.
So, first of all, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
You're welcome.
First, let's start with the myth. As the story goes, a Kohler employee named Harlan Huckleby designed the bubbler in 1888, which was then patented by Kohler, which trademarked the name.
Don't you love that? First of all, I really love the name.
Yeah, Harlan Huckleby. It's a great old-timey name.
Certainly not a Sheboygan County name at that time or any other, I don't think. But it makes for a good story, though.
It does. So what's wrong with it?
Well, you know, we got looking around for this. I do a weekly column for the Sheboygan Press, and that's always been this bubbler thing is such a regional issue. We always laugh about that. But when you started digging around, I couldn't find any evidence of Mr. Huckleby. I couldn't find any evidence of the, what did they call it, the Kohler...
Kohler Waterworks?
Kohler Waterworks, right. I think that was the first thing that tipped me off. You know, Kohler started as two or three different companies, but none of those by that name. And, you know, you start asking questions, you start talking to other people who worked in the industry, who worked at Kohler, and finally I picked up the phone and I called their archivist. And she told me that they have done a bunch of research on this over a number of years, gone through their company records, and have never been able to find a Harlan Huckleby working for Kohler, period. And then, you know, you get a little bit deeper. The years are incorrect. Kohler really didn't exist at that time. Kohler was part of Kohler, Heisen, and Stein, downtown in Sheboygan in the city, but they weren't making anything like bubblers. They weren't making plumbing products like Kohler is now. So you start to map this whole thing out, and you find there are really a number of flaws to that story. But the curious thing is it is everywhere. If you know, go on the Internet and do any kind of research with bubbler, that just comes up automatically. That Kohler started this thing, you know, 35 years ago, and not true. Now, they certainly have grabbed on and turned it into something, and they do own a patent for part of that bubbler now. I think I read, I would go back through my notes, it was about 1926, 1927 when they really did patent the bubbler part of what we call a bubbler.
So where did Harlan Huckleby come from?
I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. You know, I call it an urban myth, although, like I said, it's not creepy and not weird, but it is, I have no idea at all. Now, in doing some research, when I went back, I found that this bubbler, this drinking fountain thing, seemed to come from two different places right about the same time. There was a guy named Luther Hawes in California and a man named Halsey Taylor in Warren, Ohio. Both motivated from need. They had typhoid fever and a number of other diseases, and they didn't like the way that people were, you know, sharing water. So they thought they could invent something that was, you know, a lot more sterile and healthy. And that was 1912, 1909, 1910, 1912, something like that. But, you know, not in Kohler, certainly not in 1876. You know, you never know how these things get started. I know how they get, you know, shoved along.
So it seems like the term bubbler, though, may actually predate the water fountain in Wisconsin. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. This I got from some of my researchers who attended one-room schools. State of Wisconsin, there were thousands of them every couple of miles or so. And I think, at least in this area, that came from a Red Wing. The Red Wing Company, the Red Wing Company that makes, you know, the boots that people wear today, also made wonderful crockery and pottery. And they made a thing called, it was a water container. And there was an attachment to it that you could press, and you filled it from the top. And then when you press the button at the bottom, your water would come out, sort of like modern-day coolers, you know, those insulated coolers that we take everywhere. But there was also an attachment that you could lean over just like we do with bubblers now, and then they called that the bubbler. And I'm thinking that's where that came from because, you know, our one-room schools started here as early as 1850. I think Red Wing started making them certainly 1875, 1876 or so. And because there were so many one-room schools in this part of the country, that's how that popped up.
Do we know why they called these water coolers bubblers?
Yeah, I think it's just because the water did bubble up. You know, it sort of made a little burp. If you put this in, you know, in the container, you put the cover back on, it becomes sort of semi-contained. And when you push the button and the water came out, it made a burp. You know, those were the Red Wing or the old bubbler things. The Kohler piece now, you know, think back to your school days, your grade school days, when you turn the knob on the side of the bubbler, the water comes up, you know, an inch. You're hoping it comes up an inch or two. And that's where it came from. just because it does bubble up and bubble over, I guess.
So the term bubbler in Wisconsin is cherished as sort of a local anomaly, but it also seems like these bubblers were really cherished by the people in a lot of these Wisconsin communities.
Sure, I think that's true. You still ask kids, folks who attended one-room schools, and one of their favorite stories certainly does involve the bubbler. You know, I think it was early technology. I think in an era where people didn't have much, and you think of the other option, if you didn't have a bubbler to drink from, you drank out of a pail with a tin cup, or maybe you had a scoop or a ladle that you drank from. You know, the water came directly from your well, and it was nice and cold, but you probably only had fresh water, you know, say once a day. But if you filled the bubbler, that was really a piece of early technology that I'm sure was a curiosity. I think the Red Wing, especially, were really very expensive.
So as far as the origins go of the word bubbler, it's still kind of a mystery, right?
Yes, we don't know. I'm sure there was no Harlan Huckleby. Kohler did not initiate it. Like I said, they took a piece of technology or a concept and turned it into something. You know, now their history is not necessarily new either. 1926 is nothing to sneeze at. That's, you know, already a really good, long, deep history. You know, this is the way a lot of this stuff starts. A couple of inventions here or there. Somebody takes an invention, they tweak it, and then we add our own local twist to it. And, you know, Sheboygan County, especially in this part of Wisconsin, has a great ability to make up interesting terms. You know, I always thought about it as maybe being something like Kleenex or Xerox, that it's really a trade name. But I don't think so. I think it's just more it looked like a bubbler, and maybe they were marketed as bubblers from Red Wing. I don't know. Like I said, I've not been able to find enough documentation from that era. It's just too long ago.
It's very interesting, right?
It is. It's just this kind of quirky little weird thing, you know? I mean, it's not going to alter your life any, whether you know or don't know. But, you know, this is one of these things. I pump these things out pretty quickly. And if you could really take, you know, 6 months or so and go and interview folks and dig back into some of the major archives, you might be able to find really the true origins of it. But I'm more inclined to think that it's probably here, especially just a combination of things in local jargon and a little storytelling.
It's crazy because, you know, bubbler is not that old a term, and
right,
yet figuring out its origins are so difficult.
Well, and, you know, some of this stuff is day-to-day history, too. You know, you know when you're in the middle of something big and people start to document things right away. But because that stuff develops slowly over a period of time and maybe even, you know, even over 2 or 3 or 4 years, nobody ever sits down and writes out, oh, this is how this started. This is where we got the name. This is how those things just get lost in time. And then there's the whole group that thinks, well, no one wants to know about that. Nobody cares. Yeah, except we do. Eventually, some of us will. We like to know about it.
50 years later, people are going,
why did you call it this? And the more you discover, the more you want to know, and then you start asking questions about everything. And it's the stuff that nobody ever writes down. That's what you want to know about. And this is one of those funny little things. Now, I've always hoped that somebody, that because there's been enough discussion about this around the last year or two, that somebody would actually pop up and say, hey, I know where that is. I have this documentation. Well, so far that's not happened. I was just really glad to work with Kohler, though, too, just because, like, nah, they have no idea. You know, they actually went through their company records back as far as they had them to see if they could find Mr. Huckleby, and nothing, nothing at all. So I think he's a myth.
The myth of Harlan Huckleby.
Sure.
Well, Beth Dipple, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad you were interested.